Right now, Lord, you see the ones, oh God, that want to live in peace in their heart and in their mind and their soul. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Well, there's a miracle waiting for you today. Will you claim it? Will you choose to believe our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing in your life? Jesus asked these two blind men, watch this, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. He says, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that he's able to do it? Before I go there, I'm being reminded. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I will do what it says I'll do. And Lord, I'll turn my cell phone on silent so I don't get disturbed so I can hear your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is what the word says in Matthew chapter 9. It says in verse 28, do you believe that I am able to do this? Would you take this down a little bit because I think I'm still loud. Ain't I a little loud out there? Because when I get excited, I'm going to get louder, so I don't want to blow y'all out the back door. There you go. There. Jesus said to the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9, do you believe that I am able to do this? Then he said to him, yes, Lord. Can you say yes, Lord? Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. So I'm going to speak a word right now for you, right now, if you're ready to receive it. According to your faith, let it be unto you how you believe in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Do you believe that Jesus is able? Do you believe that God wants to bless you and encourage you? Well, we're living our lives and many of us are just watching our life pass by. Have you ever just thought about how quickly life is passing? I mean, it's here today and gone tomorrow, the Bible says. It's but a vapor. And it's so quick how fast life can be. And I know everybody that's like in between 20 and 30, you don't get that notion yet. But once you hit 35-ish and older, I'll just say that, man, all of a sudden the years, They start clicking by, and it gets quicker and quicker. Life is passing by so many people that they're just missing the opportunities that God has given them. Amen? Uh-oh. Listen to this. Learn to live in peace. Learning to live in peace comes by knowing that you're not always going to have peace. I have to break this news to some folks because somewhere along the line, somebody said that once you give your life to Christ, everything's wonderful. You never have any more problems. How many of you know they have lied to you? And I'm not trying to pull you down or make you sad. I just want you to understand the facts. Not everything goes as planned. And not everything happens the way, especially the way we think it should happen. Sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we go through some hard things. And I'll say it like this. Things happen. How many of you have had things happen? And this is what we always say. Why? Why does the bad stuff always... Say always. Why does the bad stuff always happen to me? If you're in here this morning and you're hearing my words, look around right now after I say this. Watch. Listen. How many of you have had bad things happen to you? Look around quickly, quickly. All the rest of y'all that did not raise your hands, you've never had bad things. I'm just asking. So let everyone else know, guess what? Things happen. Stuff happens. We get sick. We get hurt. We have problems. Guess what? Life. I tell my grandchildren this. And they blow their mind when they say this. Have you ever heard somebody say, life is, it's not fair. And I have to tell them the truth. Life is not fair. Good thing we don't get what we deserve. Amen? I love Brother Howard Rapp back in the back. When you walk in the morning, say, how you doing? He goes, better than I deserve. I said, what a great testimony that is. Better than I deserve. It's a good thing we don't get what we deserve. It's a good thing things aren't fair. Because if we got what we deserved, well, we'd be in a heck of a fix. Things happen, but we don't have to get woe is me thinking it only happens to me. That's a lie from the devil. How many of you know he lies? Has he lied to you? Has he been trying to tell you you're the only one? Tell him he's a liar, first of all, and realize that guess what? Things happen to all of us. But, We got to realize that sometimes things happen to everybody. We lose the peace of God that surpasses all understanding because we get caught up in the, I'll just say it like this, the woe is me cycle. The woe is me, oh, everything's bad, everything. And we get caught up into the depression, the downtrodden. Sometimes I have to. I'm gonna tell you why this sermon came to pass. This week, my wife asked me to move a television mount. Have you ever mounted television mounts on walls? After I got it up, we realized that the closet door was gonna hit the television. So, after I installed it, she says, well, it's, the door's going to hit it. And I'm like, you ever think things that you really shouldn't say? You know, so I was thinking all of these things. And I said, well, you know what, baby? I said, I got all the tools right here right now. I said, I might as well move it now. You know, sometimes after you're frustrated, you shouldn't do things. Everybody have been in there? So I decided I'm going to go ahead. I got all the tools here now. I'll just go ahead and move it now. So I took the thing down, and guess what? It didn't work, and I was having trouble. And for some reason, they make things cheaper now. And the screw that I screwed into the back of the mount on the TV stripped. I mean, I just put it on. And I don't mean the threads. I mean the way you put the Phillips screwdriver in it, turn it. It just stripped right out. I'm like, first of all, I'm not nowhere near as strong as I used to be. So it should not have stripped. So I go, and I threw the screwdriver down. Anybody ever throw things? I just got to know if we're in the same right house, okay? And I got mad, and I threw the screwdriver. You like that throw? And I was very frustrated. And then I thought to myself, why am I allowing the devil? Why am I allowing my peace to escape me? It's a screw. So what? Do we allow things so tiny and in not important to destroy our peace and our joy and our happiness? We do, don't we? Say amen. I'm going to just give you an example this morning. I figured I'd use myself. But sometimes we got to stop and think, why have I lost my peace? Because a screw tripped. I got more screws. If you've been in my garage, I've got a ton of screws. I save screws. I got a little drawer with all. But I can't believe I lost my peace because of a screw. Most people I know want to live a peaceful life. Don't you want to live a peaceful life? Don't you just want to have peace and love and don't you just like it when everything goes right? I have to let you know. It's going to stop. It's going to end. Something's going to happen. Something's going to break. Something is not going to go as planned. Do you believe it? Don't allow these things. Say, don't allow these things to take away our peace from life. Watch this. How do we get that peace back? Watch what Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart. Say, let your heart. Go back and read this one day when you got some time. My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart. You got to stop and think about words that are in the scriptures. Let your heart keep my commandments. Sometimes we lose things in our heart and mind. Sometimes we allow things to escape. Let your heart keep His commandments. When you lose it and you go off and you throw the screwdriver down, stop. Think about what you're doing and gain back your peace and allow your heart to be mended like the Lord wants to do. He wants to do work. Watch this. And length of days and long life and peace, say peace, will be added to you. Your miracle is right here today if we're seeking it. You know what? I could have went on for the next 30 minutes and threw a fit. MAF, don't raise your hand here, okay? We could go on. Sometimes when we lose our peace and we lose it and we throw things and we get mad, we can go on for 10, 15, 20, 30 a day and let that destroy our joy and peace in our life because we, We have allowed ourselves to be distracted, taken off focus of what God wants us to focus on, that it's really not relevant about whether or not that screw broke. Really what happens is that we use that little bitty thing to explode on other reasons that were deeper. And the deeper reason, here you go, confession time. I didn't want to move the bracket over. You see where the frustration came in? I should have took the closet door down. See? Now there's a man of God right there. Where were you? Take the closet door down. See? Baby, that would have been easier. You see how other things are underneath. Sometimes we explode on something little and minor. Sometimes we allow these things to take our peace and our joy and our life from us. And I'm here to tell you that we've got to step up. We've got to rise up and not allow our spirit. Let your heart keep His commandments. Let. You see, we got to learn to let it. We got to let our heart accept God's love and commandments. Watch this. Are you ready for your miracle? So why are there so many of us living in fear and worry and doubt and fretting about things and worried about everybody and everything? I mean, there are so many things that it blows my... Have you ever... I mean, anybody Facebook around? Anybody does Facebook? I'm a Facebook guy. I post everything I do. Eat, drink, you know, whatever. If I'm walking down the road, look at the tree, snap. And then I post it. But it's amazing to me the things I see other people post. Do they not know the world's looking? But anyway, that we're posting all kind of things on there. Again, we're worried about all kinds. And there's stuff that I read, and I'm like, really? Are we worried about all of this stuff? Obviously they are, because they keep trying to change the world. How many of you know we got to do like DJ said, live our life and love the Lord and spread the gospel, and that's what it's all about. When we get caught up into trying to fix the world, how many of you think it's ready to be fixed? Raise your hand, you can. It does, it needs to be fixed, but guess what? You fussing about it ain't going to fix it. You know what the Bible says? Pray. Pray for those that are in leadership. Pray for those that are making decisions in your life. Pray for the king. Pray for your leaders. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Well, I say this every now and then. Just imagine if we would pray as much, or at least as much, as we talk about it or post it. If we would start just praying half as much. I don't know if you read it this week, but I put a challenge on there for all Christians on Facebook. I put a challenge. Did you see it? Did you read it? Put a challenge on there. Start challenging other people. Hey, let's pray for our family, our friends, and our leaders. How many of you think it would be a better thing to do than if we just post all of the negative stuff that the world wants to fret about and worry about? The Bible says, watch this, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, wisdom. Say wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Now say understanding. Y'all don't want to repeat nothing this morning? Say understanding. Everybody thought somebody else was going to say it. You say it. I ain't saying it today. Understanding. Do we understand what God is doing? Do we understand? Do we know God? Do we understand what He's doing in our life? Do you realize that our plans don't go the way we want them? Do we realize that sometimes nothing goes the way we plan? Have you ever been there? No peace? Could it be that we're not living? Could it be that we're not doing? Could it be that we're not living the life of Christ? Could it be that we're not doing what we should be? Say should be. Y'all sleepy this morning. Y'all should be doing. Aren't we Christians? Well, yeah. Of course I'm a Christian. What do you think? Of course I'm a Christian. Well, do we understand what the word Christian actually means? Do we realize that it means to be Christ-like? Do we realize to be Christ-like means we're not going to always get things our way? What? You see, that's where we are problematic, is that we expect everything to go the way we want it to go. We are spoiled brats. Uh-oh, did I just call you a spoiled brat? No, I didn't. You know, I'm just... But we're supposed to be Christ-like. Many of us realize that our peace is drifting away. Our love is drifting away. We're not doing the things that Christ wants us to do. We're losing our peace. But I want you to know this, that when we're doing things in our own strength, when we're doing things the way we want to do, there's no peace. There's no peace. But why am I struggling? Why am I having all these issues? Why? What? I mean, don't raise your hand. Why? We say why a whole bunch, don't we? Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 26 and 12 says, watch. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for him than a fool. Is Isaac in here? Isaac Beaumont. I was reading this scripture the other day when he was at my house, and he was like, what? I said, yes, sir. Listen what the Bible says. It says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for him than a fool. He said, well, then I guess we shouldn't be foolish. I said, you're right. Let's not be foolish. Let's be wise in God's eyes, in the things of God, not in our own sight. There's a lot of people that think, they think. We're thinking all kind of things, but I'm here to tell you it's more important about what we're doing. Instead of giving a negative report, we give a positive report. We got to start speaking life to ourselves. We got to start walking in faith and victory. I love the song we sung this morning. It said, abiding in the vine. Hallelujah. If we learn to abide in the vine, and if we realize that God is in control, then we learn to live a peaceful, say peaceful, life. Get understanding. Watch this. Proverbs 16 and 2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own sight. You know what? I mean, you know, obviously we do the things we think are right, right? And we're out there doing it. But the Bible says that all the ways of men are pure in his own sight. But watch this. The Lord weighs his spirit. The Lord does what? He weighs his spirit. Get understanding. Listen. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. Slow down and listen. Listen to what God has. Think about what you're thinking. Think about what you're saying. Think about where you are in life. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Lord weighs our spirit. He's judging us by our thoughts, our minds. What are we really trying to accomplish? We can fool people. Have you ever noticed you can fool people? I mean, you know, some of us are much easier fooled than others. But I'm here to tell you that I have seen some really good liars. They have made me believe some things and I was, really? Wow, that's so interesting. And it come to find out, they talked about catching a fish this big when they went fishing. Wait a minute. They didn't even go fishing. They telling a complete whole lie. But the idea is there that the Lord weighs our spirit. He's checking us out. He knows where we are. Watch this. Slow down and think about it. Slow down and think about where you are and what's going on in your life. Don't allow the devil to come in and destroy your life. Philippians 4 and 6 says it like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And did y'all get my scripture? It's there. Okay. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And come on, somebody say it. Say peace one more time. The peace of God, which surpasses, which is more than you could ever imagine. More peace than you could ever imagine. Could you imagine having all kind of peace in your life? Could you imagine just living life, sitting out on what they call that boat y'all on? A pontoon. If you just imagine your life sitting out on a pontoon in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, watching blue angels fly over. So peaceful, so at rest, so sitting on the beach under a tarpaulin. Oh, look how beautiful. How many of y'all haven't seen the Blue Angels? Three of you. Okay. It was too hot. I got you. Anyway, the idea is that just a lot, more than you can imagine, more than you can possibly imagine, God is so awesome. Amen? Do you know He's a good God? And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, what will it do? It will guard your... Oh, we're back to that heart again. It'll guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. How many of you ready to allow Jesus to guard your heart and guard your mind? The things you think of, the things you really meditate on, the things that we allow in our life. Watch this. James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Hallelujah. Aren't you just glad when you're going through problems? Honey? Anybody here just aren't you so excited when you're going through all your problems and you just... Well, you can learn to be, because listen to what the scripture actually is saying here. Watch. "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." This is why. Say, knowing. You see, many of us don't realize that we're going through these situations because He knows that the testing, because we know that the testing, because we know that the testing of our faith produces patience. My sister, I love her to death. She was saying that she has no patience. She goes, "I've been praying for patience and I've been praying for patience and I have no patience." I said, quit praying for it, because every time you pray for patience, the Lord's going to make you go through things so you learn how to have patience. So if you want patience, just get them. Don't pray for them. Our testing of our faith, the testing of our faith produces patience. When you're going through the tests, the trials, the problems, the things that don't go your way, the things that you got to struggle through, it produces patience. But watch this. Let patience have its perfect work. What? It said, but let patience have, let say let again. You see, these are things that we have to allow in our life. Let it happen. Let patience have its work. You see, after I threw the screwdriver, I was frustrated, I was mad, I let it happen. And then I thought about it. What? Why did I lose it? You see, in the testing of losing it, I stopped and thought about, why did I lose it? Have you ever stopped and thought about why we're in the situation we're in? Have you ever really contemplated what's going on? Have you ever said, God, why am I going through this? Why me? Well, He's tested you because He's working patience in you. And when your patience comes to play, watch this. Excuse me. Let your patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete. So God is perfecting you, say me. Do you realize that He's working in your life? Do you realize that He's working and trying to get some stuff out so that way you will be complete? You will be prepared. When other people go through those situations, you can use it as a testimony to say, look what the Lord has done. You see, and that's what we've got to learn, is to realize that God is working in us a far greater reward than we could ever possibly imagine. If we will realize and understand that He's working. Say, working on me, Lord. He's working on us. And if we lack wisdom, watch this. If you're lacking wisdom, ask God. Ask Him for some wisdom. How many of you have ever asked God for wisdom? It's a really good thing to start asking for, because along our journey, I'm speaking on my own accord here only, okay? I have made some stupid mistakes. Anybody? Have you ever made some mistakes and you went, why did I do that? Well, how did I get myself into this predicament? Have you? And you know what? The Lord's working on us. And if we're lacking wisdom, say lacking. If we're lacking wisdom, let us ask of God. Watch this. Who gives to all liberally. That means He gives to you if you ask Him. If you ask, He's going to give it to you. He's going to give you wisdom. How many of you want wisdom? Right now, Lord, you see the hands of the folks that want more wisdom, Lord. You just ask. You just pour out right now. I see double portions happening for a few folks that got both hands raised. Lord, we just know that you want a double portion for some of us. Lord, some of us need a double portion, Lord. We ask you to do a mighty work and take and give us wisdom, Lord, that we might have understanding to accomplish, say accomplish, what you've called us to be and do. You see, God's doing a work inside of us. If any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give deliberately without reproach, and he will be given to him. Watch this. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. You see, here we go back to faith. Back to what's really in your heart. Back to having a testimony of saying, I'm going to believe the report of my Lord and Savior. I'm going to believe for a healing, a complete healing. You ever read the story what are those guys? The lepers. The lepers, there was 10 of them, and then one and 9 of them, they all got healed, but only one of them came back and said, thank you, Lord. The one that came back and said, thank you, Lord, guess what happened? The Bible says he was made whole. Now, the other ones were healed. How many of you know what leprosy is? It's like a deterioration and taking away of your body. It just eats away your rotting, your body away. It just falls off. Now, they were healed. But you could be healed and pretty messed up. And they were healed. And that's great. But the one that came back and said, thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Jesus. Was made whole. All of his parts brought back. Wow, we got to learn to thank Jesus, to give him thanks for what he's done in our life. I was talking to somebody this morning, I believe over here, about how blessed we are, how healthy we are. Many of us are going through some issues. We've got some sickness and disease and problems. But how many of you know there's a lot more people around that's got it a whole lot worse than we do. Can you thank Jesus for where you are? Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life, oh God. Go ahead, give him a clap offering. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Jesus deserves it. Jesus deserves it. Hallelujah. But he who asks without faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave in the sea because he's tossed to and fro in the wind. Have you ever been like, oh, well, yes, Lord, I love you. Oh, well, you know, but God, but Lord, double-minded man, the Bible talks about right there. It says he's unstable in all of his ways. And I'm telling you this morning, it's time for us to learn how to get stable. It's time for us to learn how to get solid. It's time for us to learn how to not allow the lie of the devil to take away from us, but be on the rock, Christ Jesus. Set your feet upon the rock. Get solid. Get your foundation set. When the devil comes in like a flood, the Bible tells us to raise up the standard against him. That means stand up and say, oh, no, you don't have no authority here. Let me tell you who my Jesus is. Let me tell you what he's already done for me. And let me tell you what I'm believing for in the future. Here it comes. Satan, and I'm going to tell you that I'm believing for a complete restoration and healing for this body. How about you? Anybody want some of that? Well, then say it right now. Lord, I'm believing for a complete restoration and a restoring of my body in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it. Believe the word of God. Go for God. Go say, go for it. What do you got to lose? That's my biggest thing with people. You're already dying. You got the cancer. You got the sickness. You got the disease. You got the problems. You might as well go for it. You might as well give God glory. You might as well give up and say, Lord, it's yours anyway. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can with what you've given me. I'm going to do what I can with what I've got. And I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm going to give you the glory for it all the way through. Amen. Amen. For no man, watch this, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe, then you're gonna falter, you're gonna waver, you're gonna not understand. Say understand. We're not gonna understand that God wants to bless us. He wants to heal us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to pour out his spirit. He wants to bring you a miracle today. Say today. You see, I mean, I'm not just talking about the name it, claim it game. I'm talking about believe it. understand that God is our healer. And along the journey, say along the journey. Oh, it's a journey. How many of you have been on one? And you've been on your journey and it's been a long time coming. And you know what? God's doing a work inside of you. But you have, watch this. Ephesians chapter 4 and 20 says this. But you have not so learned Christ. You don't know Jesus. Watch this. If indeed you have not heard him, for indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, say the old man, which grows corrupt. You see, if we don't take the old man and put it off, if we don't believe that Jesus is doing a work in us, if we just keep living our life doing what we've been doing and just saying, oh, come on, Jesus, I love you, Lord. This is just who I am, Lord. This is me. Put off the old man. Say, put off. Put off the old man, for it grows corrupt. Do you know that the old man that we were, it was growing more and more corrupt according to the deceitful lust? Have we been deceived? Many of us have been deceived. And watch this. And be renewed. What? And be renewed. What? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, you got to stop thinking the negative thinking, the junk in your trunk. We got to stop thinking the negative stuff and put on, say put on. We got to put on the new man. Say new man. We got to put on the new man that was created according to God and truth and righteousness and holiness. We've got to put on the new man that God created in his own image. We got to put on Jesus Christ. We got to put on the Holy Spirit and walk in newness. Say newness. Newness of life. We get caught up in the old, same old, same old because of, for some reason, we just get down in ruts. We crawl down in these ruts of life. Anybody ever crawl down into your rut? You get down into that rut, and you're just like, well, we just got to go to work. I gotta pay the bills. I got to put the food on the table. Got to wash them clothes. I got to chug-a-lug, say chug-a-lug. Got to chug-a-lug, just moving. I'm just doing what I can do. Get off the old man and put on the new man. All of that stuff I just said, we got to do. You still got to do it. But the attitude towards it. Oh, if I just... How many of you know the clothes got to get washed? Huh? The dishes got to get washed. The grass has got to be cut. The car needs to be fixed. When I say grass cut, four people do it. Oh, that grass must be this high by now. Call Kevin, he'll charge you only very cheap. God wants us to put off the old man, put on a new man that was created according to God in truth and righteousness. Get understanding. You see, we've got to know that God wants us to be renewed. We got to fight against the flesh. We got to fight against the world. We got to fight the spiritual fight, the battle that's inside of our. How many of you got a battle going on up here? And some of you are battling it and you're struggling so hard because you're trying to do it alone and by yourself. Give it up. Give it to God. I was talking in the back this morning about you can't fix anybody. Do you know that? Do you know you can't fix your brother, your sister, your cousin, your uncle, your husband, your spouse? You can't fix them. First of all, Jesus loves them. You can't change them. You can't make them do what you think they should be doing. How many of you have come to the realization that? Are you married more than a year? Some of y'all are still trying to change your spouse. I'm going to change them. I'm going to make them the way I want them to be. That ain't going to happen. What you do need to do is pray for them. What you do need to do is love them. What you do need to do is accept who Jesus loves in them. Remember, this is something that I'm good. This is just a word of encouragement to married people out there. This is free, okay? Watch this. Go back and remember the first time you laid eyes on them. Go back and remember how much you loved them. I do this all the time. I go back to the first few days I was Well, I wooed her for 5 years. She wouldn't come to me. But I won. Hallelujah. But this is the time I can remember to this day, clear as a bell. I had a piece of grass trying to tickle her lips. She's freaking out right now. I had the piece of grass in my mouth. I'm tickling her lips with that piece of grass. We have never kissed. I'm wishing I could get closer and closer. She keeps biting off the grass, and I'm thinking, ta-da! This is a great idea. My lips are getting closer to hers. Every time she bites the grass, it's getting closer, getting closer. She reached up there, snatched that grass right out of my mouth. I was like, I had to start over or twig that long. That was 40-something years ago. And to this day, I love her more than I did then. I still remember the passion that I have for her. I will never lose that. And that's why a lot of people end up in divorce today, is because they lose their passion. It all becomes about themselves, or it's selfishness. You got to give it up. I'm just going to get back to preaching because I'm getting meddling now. But for those of you that are married, remember your spouse. Remember how much Jesus loves you and loves them. How do you renew your mind? Watch this. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and repent. We need to learn how to repent. Do not be, I'm going to go back and read this one more time. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't try to be like the rest of the world. Don't try to be like them. Don't try to act like they do. How many of you know they don't have the answer? How many of you know you've got the answer? His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. Say renewing. The renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it to yourself. Don't prove it to other people. Prove it to yourself what is the good and perfect will of God. To yourself. Prove it to yourself. I don't know about you, but I love showing off of what God has done for me. I can tell people, man, this is who I was, a hoodlum, and this is who I used to be. And now this is who I am. Hallelujah. I am not the person I used to be. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you're not the person you used to be? Amen. Amen. Now the Holy Spirit, we need to let the Holy Spirit convict us, and we need to repent, not make excuses. Too many of us are just making it. Well, that's just me, brother. I just can't help it. I just fell into sin. First of all, you didn't fall into it. You chose to do that. You didn't just fall into sin. Sin, the devil tempted you. He said, oh, come see how good and fun this is. And you said, yeah, let me check it out. We choose to walk away from God. And that's why we lose our peace. That's why we are frustrated sometimes. Then what are we thinking when we're walking away from God? What's going through? I mean, if you're a Christian and you know Jesus, and how many of you know when you took those first two steps away from what you knew not to do towards what you knew you wasn't supposed to be doing and you did it anyway? How many of you knew that there was a little conviction going on in your spirit? Anybody? You knew it was wrong. So stop when you feel that spiritual tug. When you feel that conviction, stop and think about, wait a minute, what am I doing? Am I allowing the devil to win? Am I allowing the devil to convince me that I'm going to enjoy this? How many of you know the Bible says we reap what we sow? So if I sow into this bad stuff, guess what I'm going to reap? A bad harvest. I'm going to end up with some bad stuff. I'm going to end up with some bad things happening in my life. Why? Because I've sowed bad seed. It's time for us to start sowing the good seed. Say, sow the good seed. I love that word, sowing the good seed. Don't make excuses. So what am I thinking? What am I thinking? What are my thoughts? What am I meditating on? How many of you know We got to quit meditating on the wrong stuff. This is what the Bible says. These things. Say these things. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, say true. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report. Hey, wake up, back up! We're in Philippians 4. Quit eating the candy. I caught a candy back there. Philippians 4. There it comes. There we go. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. They're eating too much candy. They're having fun back there. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Hey, Robbie, slap them. Whatever things are virtue, whatever things are good report, whatever things are praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. Meditate. Say meditate. We understand meditation. That's what you're thinking about. What you're really contemplating on. What's going through your mind all day long. You know what? Sometimes we're thinking all day long about the wrong thing. Say wrong thing. Sometimes we think about something all day long. Have you ever did this? Watch this. I know y'all did. Watch this. You pressed rewind and play. Rewind and play. Remember back when we used to have the old cassette player? You had the little switch. You'd press rewind. Y'all got a little digital button now, but we used to have to go click, 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 click. We go, rewind, play. Rewind, play. Or we pick up our phone and say, rewind that. Play it again, Sam. Play it again. And we play these things over and over and over. Have you played them way too long? Have you played them way too much? Have we not realized that it's time to let it go. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring good things, virtuous things, pure things, lovely things, anything of good report. Meditate. Start thinking about the good things. How good God is. How good your job is. Uh-oh. I just stepped into a landmine. How good my job is. Do you realize what they've done to me on that job? I deserve more money. I work me too hard. They don't treat me right. How many of you are glad you have a job that gives you a paycheck every week, that you make enough money to pay your bills? And if you're not making enough money to pay your bills, quit buying things. What? But I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to keep up. I got to have a new car. No, you don't. How many of you don't need a new car? The rest of y'all lie. You just want a new car. I understand that. But you don't need a new car. There's a lot of people walking around. You ever heard that joke? You ever heard that joke about Jesus? The kid told his dad, he said, "Dad, I need a car." His dad said, "Well, you know, boy, when you get a haircut, I'll give you a car." And the little boy says, "Well, Dad, don't you know Jesus had long hair?" He said, "Don't you know Jesus walked everywhere he wanted to go?" You don't need a new car. You can walk wherever you need to go. What are we meditating on? So if you want peace, if you want peace of God that surpasses all, if you want peace in your life, listen to this. Go get it. Go get it. Don't blame somebody else for disturbing your peace. Don't blame other people that's not, that has any effect on you, that's minor, that's little bit. Get away from them if they're bothering you. If you don't like your boss, quit. See how much you like being unemployed. I've worked in a lot of places in my life, and I've seen so many people. I heard so many people say, "Oh, this job's so hard." I said, "No, it's not. I've had hard jobs. This ain't one." You got to realize that it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of understanding that God got you someplace other than for a paycheck. You might be a testimony and a witness and having to declare Jesus is Lord. You're better off than you were. You're much better off than you were. How many of you are not better off than you were because you gave your life to Christ? You gave your life to Christ and you're better off than you were. God's going to bring you from glory to glory. He's going to bring you to another, a better. Now, if you're not doing His will, if we're not doing what He's called us to do, then we can have no peace. We can have no rest. We can have no wisdom and no understanding. But we've got to learn that God's got something great in store for you. Now, having said all this, now let me just prepare you for something. There's something, have you ever heard of something called presumptuous sin? This is where David was talking to God about it. He said, keep me, Lord, from presumptuous sin. What is presumptuous sin? That's when we just presume, take it for granted, expect God to just give me stuff because I go to church and I tithe and I give to the Lord and I help this person and I did this and I did that. Presumptuous sin. Lord, you got to bless me because I'm so presumptuous and expecting God to do something for you. Presumptuous sin. Listen to it. It's in Psalms chapter 19 and 13. If you never heard it before, listen carefully. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Let not it have dominion over me. Don't expect something for nothing. Don't expect life just to treat you. Like I said, life is not fair. It's really not. Because if we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be where we are. We reap what we sow. So sow good seeds so that you can get good things from God. But don't expect it. Don't sit back and say, well, Lord, I did this. I mean, you can remind Him of good things. You can remind God. But don't expect it and presume that God owes you. How many of you know He doesn't owe you? But He does love you. And He wants to give it to you. Living the gospel, living the good news, going for it. Don't give up. Go for it. Matthew 22 and 37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's the first and great commandment. And the second one is just like it, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments fall all the law of the prophets. Christians, how did Jesus live? Do we realize that God wants to give us peace in our life? Do we realize, watch this, I'm going to jump over a little bit. Matthew chapter 9 and 37, I'm jumping to the next page. Then he said to his disciples, Matthew 9 and 37, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Jesus went out doing. And He's called us to go out and do. It's not impossible. We can give up. Too many of us give up. Too many of us give up on life. Well, I'll just go and do what I got to do and just get by. I'm here to tell you that living for Christ and doing what He's called you to do is the best possible life you could ever live. Anybody say amen? Go tell other people about the kingdom of God is at hand. Tell them. How many of you know that people are looking at you? What are they thinking about your Jesus? What are they thinking about your Christianity? What do they see when they see us? I'm going to stop right there and just let you know that God's on the throne. He reigns forevermore. He loves you and He wants to impart peace to you. If you'd love some peace in your life, please stand on your feet because God's got a word and a miracle for you right now, right here. In this day, in this age, God's going to do a miracle right here this morning. How many of you are ready for your miracle? You ready for your miracle? Raise both hands. Say, Lord, I need a miracle in my life. Lord, give me peace, Lord. Lord, give me understanding, Lord. Give me wisdom, O God. Let me run with endurance the race that you've set before me. Lord, let me follow Jesus and not follow the world. Lord, you are the author and finisher of my faith. I believe your word to be true. And Lord, I surrender right now afresh and anew. Pour out your peace in Jesus' name. Hug somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them you love them. Good to see you. Hope to see you next week. God bless you.